We have been looking at certain things that will cause a gap between us and growth. And when I say growth, we're talking about spiritual growth and development. Now, after being saved, the next important thing for us as believers in Christ is to grow up as a Christian, or to grow up spiritually. That becomes the next important thing on God's agenda for us. Save, grow up as a Christian. See, get saved, then after I'm saved, I grow up as a Christian. Growing up becomes an important issue. Now, for the most part, most people who are Christians don't ever hear anything about growing up, for the most part, see. But you got to thank God that you're in a place that you can hear about these things. Because this is very important to you. Growth is very important to you. You have to grow up. Now, in order to inherit all of those promises God made to you, some of them you can't come into until you grow up. Amen. Now, the group I just left, I gave them an example of what I was talking about down in Baton Rouge. I was just sharing with them that you wouldn't give an 11-year-old an automobile. And yet, you're the parent and you want to be a blessing to that child, but you would not give him at 11 years old an automobile. Why? Well, he's not mature enough to handle that type of gift. But as he grows and develops, you're delighted. You're happy as a parent to bless your child with an automobile. Am I right? See, somebody need to bless me with one, huh? But you want to do that for them because that's your child. You want to bless them. God is the very same way. Now, there are certain blessings that we can come into right now at this level. But now there are other blessings that we can't come into until we take on some spiritual growth and development. Amen. Now, the enemy, that's Satan, he would like to keep you in the babyhood stage. Now, if you stay there too long, it's frustration. And I know why a lot of people quit, because they're totally frustrated with their lives. They're in Christ, but they're not, nothing's happening. Now, when you get in Christ, something is supposed to happen different. I'm supposed to have a different kind of lifestyle. Amen. And we're not talking about a bunch of do's and don'ts. We're talking about I should live the good life. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, to the overflowing, an overflowing life. That's what I'm supposed to have. I'm not supposed to be depressed, worried and all of those kinds of things. That's not a part of the Christian life. You know, and people say, well, you know, this is the kind of life we live in. But see, what makes us different is we live different. Are you still with me? Amen. Because our trust, our confidence is in God. And God will never let us down. Hallelujah. Now, if we're standing upon his word, he can and will not let us down. Sometimes you have to stand. So that's where patience comes in. But patience is the thing that keeps faith applied. If you have no patience, your faith will not stay applied. Amen. In some situations, we have to stand by faith. And if we do, then God definitely comes through. Amen. Now, it's important for you as a believer in Christ to understand that you must grow up in Christ. Amen. That's important for you to understand. And so what we've been looking at here is the things that create a gap between our growth and development spiritually. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go to Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 9. Let's read the King James translation. Hallelujah. Now listen at what he says here. He said unto them, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now what Jesus was really doing here, he was separating those who just listen from those who listen to understand. In any setting, there are those who just listen, but there are those who listen to understand. Amen. Ask your neighbor, which one are you? Now, I trust today that everybody in here is a listener who desire to understand. And you listen to understand. So what Jesus was saying, he said, I'm not talking to you guys who just listen. I'm talking to those who listen to understand. Hallelujah. Now, how you hear, what you hear, becomes important to you. How you hear, what you hear, becomes very important to you. Yes, indeed. It's important. Amen. Because your hearing becomes the foundation for your growing. See. How I hear, what I hear, will determine my growth level. My development. How I hear. Hallelujah. Tell me you understood what I just said. Amen. Now I want to show you this here. I want to show you something in principle here in a moment. But when we listen to understand, we take to heart what's being said. Hallelujah. When we listen to understand, see, we take to heart what's being said. Amen. Now, if we take to heart what's being said, if we take it to heart, then it has an opportunity to work in our lives. What we're hearing it to understand it. Then at that point, we take on that desire and passion for what we're hearing, and then at that point, that thing can work in our lives to benefit us. Now, there are many people, they hear real good things that could benefit them, but it's how they hear it will determine if that thing will benefit them. Spiritual growth starts with the hearing. That's what it starts with, the hearing. Hearing and hearing. You got to hear and hear. Hear and hear. Hear and hear. Now, but you got to decide in your heart that I want to understand what I'm hearing. It's easy to be critical about what you're hearing. It's easy to be judgmental about what you're hearing. But don't become critical and judgmental until you clearly understand. Then you'll find there's nothing really there to be critical or judgmental about. What I'm hearing can help me. What I'm hearing was designed to help me. Are you listening? Good, good, good. Go to Romans 10:17. Stay with the King James. Now notice what he says here. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now what I want you to see here is the principle of what we're talking about. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now growth comes the same way. Divine healing comes the same way. All of it comes the same way. Whatever you need, it comes the same way. By hearing and hearing. By hearing and hearing. By hearing and hearing. By hearing and hearing. You see? My growth, my spiritual growth and development comes by hearing and hearing, by hearing and hearing. So I've got to get myself, see, in a position mentally where I can hear and hear, hear and hear. Now, notice in that verse, hearing and hearing becomes, it's a twofold application there. I hear and I hear. Now, the first hearing there is what you're doing now. What am I doing now? I'm hearing the Word of God being taught to me. I'm hearing the Word of God being taught to me. That's what I'm doing now. So the first hearing is you hearing someone teach you or preach to you the Word of God. Now, that hearing is really done with the outer ear. Hallelujah. But now we see a second hearing because it's hearing and hearing. Now, what's the second hearing? The second hearing comes through my meditation on what I've heard, preached, taught to me out of the Word of God. So what I hear, I must take with me. Then I must take the time, develop the discipline to hear again through my meditation what was taught to me. Now I submit, at that point, now you're hearing with the inner ear at that point, because that's how we hear with the inner ear, through our meditation, our study of what has been said to us, or preached to us, or taught to us. So I need to sit down. I need to take what I'm hearing, take it home with me. Excuse me. And then meditate it. Meditate it. Meditate it. Meditate it. Meditate it. Now, at that point, I submit that the Holy Spirit, see, once you take it and start meditating it, he will begin to teach you. See, and you'll start hearing and become sensitive to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then he'll unfold certain things to you that was taught to you and how it applies to you on personal basis and give you a personal application to what you've heard. Now, when I meditate the word, it gets on the inside of me. That's exactly what happens, you see. It gets on the inside of me. Now, once it gets on the inside of you, it begins to direct your life. Now, I said this to you in one of our previous sessions, that we're victims of our, you know, number one, DNA. Then number two, our environment. DNA, basically, things we have inherited from our ancestors. See? Now, you inherit a way of thinking from your people. How you are. So you wired to think a certain kind of way. You inherited that from your people. Could have been your mom or dad, or mom and dad. See. You came in the world like that. Then we have environment. Now, in your environment, many things and many people have shaped the way you think. Cousins, sisters, best friends. You see, all of those people have shaped the way you think. There are things you've seen. There are things you've heard. All of that have shaped the way you think. Amen. And the word has a fight with those things. Because those things does not want to give up its position of control where your life is concerned. Doesn't want to do that. And so that thinking denies the word entrance into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Many things, many people. Now, you've heard them say things that you meditated on. And everything you meditate on, whether it's good or bad, gets in you. See? And what it does, it begins to direct your life. Good or bad. If you put it in you, it will certainly direct your life. How do I get it in me? I meditate on it. I think about it constantly. I think about it. I give thought to it. Every time a situation comes up, I remember what Uncle Joe said. It comes back to me. And at that point, see, that thing is already in me and it directs my life. And anything contrary to what Uncle Jim says, I don't want to hear it. Amen. The word of God gets in your life the same way, directs your life the same way. You meditate on it. Amen. There are things that have happened to you in life that has created what we call inferiority complexes, right? Things have happened in your life, man. And you've thought about what happened to you, and you've thought about it, and you've thought about it, and you've thought about it, and then that thing became a part of you. And when you come close to anything look like it's going to bring that kind of action back in your life, there's a resistance there. Are you listening? Now what happens in this situation, now we got to unlearn things. It's harder to unlearn than to learn. It's harder to unlearn things than it is to learn things. It's harder. Why? Because that thing has been a part of you all your life. That way of thinking that brings you into certain types of attitudes and dispositions. Are you still with me? But I see something. Praise God. I see you coming into a different way or a different kind of thinking. The God kind. Amen. Praise be unto God. I want you to look at Mark chapter 4. Let's look at verse 24. Let's look at verse 24. Amplified translation. You ever heard anybody tell you, you're just like your daddy? Everybody tell you that? Girl, you're just like your daddy. They're not just talking about looks. They're talking about in ways, too. You know why you're just like your daddy? You think like him. You ever heard anybody say, boy, you're just like your mama. Just like your mama. Spit the image of your mama. It's not all about how you look. Some of it is about how you think. Amen. Now watch this here. Watch this here. See if you can do anything with this. And he says to them. Now watch now. Be careful what you're hearing. Now what is he really implying here? Now I believe with all my heart. He's talking about your attitude. He's saying, be careful of the attitude in which you hear the word of God with. As we read, as we continue reading the verse, you'll see it all rolls right into that. He's saying, be careful of the attitude in which you hear the word of God in. Be careful. Amen. Is it possible to have a bad attitude in hearing the word of God? Of course it is. We'll look at that in a few moments. Of course it is. So he's saying, be careful of the attitude in which you hear with. Be careful of your attitude, man. Keep an open, positive attitude when you're hearing the word of God. Now watch. Watch what else he says. Watch what else he says. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought. See, he's talking about meditation. And study. You give to the truth you what? Now we start right there and have a whole sermon right there. Now, here's what I'm saying. The percentage of people who give thought and study to what they hear is very, very small. It's not a high percentage of people that does that. Now I'm into this neighbor thing today. Maybe next time you hear me, I won't be into it. But turn and ask your neighbor, what's the measure of thought and study you give to what you're hearing? Now tell them, none of your business. Now, here's what I want you to see. See, you have to give thought or meditation and study to what you're hearing. Amen. Now, I had somebody ask me once about Revelation. They asked me, do you ever teach out of Revelation? I said, not hardly. I'll go there to use some verses from Revelation, but I don't teach out of Revelation. I said, why don't you teach out of Revelation? They can't understand Ephesians. So what I'm going into Revelation for? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm called to teach you application. That's my assignment. To show you the word of God and how you can apply it to your life to get results. I'm not a revelation scholar. So my assignment doesn't call for me to teach in Revelation. Some guys, they're called to teach nothing but the book of Revelation. Get their tapes, their CDs. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But you're not going to understand much out of Revelation when you can't understand 1 Corinthians, Romans. You're not going to understand that. And then God has you here for the purpose, number one purpose, of growing up. Revelation is dealing with what has happened and what is to come. That's good to know, but it's not a whole lot to grow on. Those epistle letters of Paul is what we grew up on. Are y'all still here? Amen. So he's telling you where to start at. Where to start. Where to start. You start meditation on what you're hearing. Through the preaching and the teaching of the word. Because that's the diet God has put you on. Now, if you look in 1 Peter chapter 2, we don't need to go there, you'll see that God has a certain kind of diet for all of us. Got it? You know, like any diet, there's going to be some things you like and there's going to be some things you don't like. Amen. But you got to eat it all. Are you listening? Now, Paul said that this would happen in the last days. People will have only a few subjects they want to hear, and everything else they push out the window. Paul said that would happen. They would have itching ears, having teachers unto themselves. What? Teaching what they want to hear. No, you don't grow up on what you want to hear. You grow up on what you need to hear. Hallelujah. So there are some things that you need to hear that you don't want to hear, but make yourself hear it anyway. Why? It's for growth purposes. Now, I want you to see this here. Let's look at this again. He said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue, that we can translate that power, virtue or power and knowledge that comes back to you. Amen. So when you're hearing me teach you or whoever's teaching you or preaching to you the word of God, you put yourself in a good position. But the process is not completed until you take home what's been preached or taught to you. And then through your meditation, process it and allow God to open it up to you. Hallelujah. Now that's more than a notion, because you have to battle thoughts and all kinds of things to get through that process. And then you got a way of thinking that causes certain emotions to come on you that you're not emotionally moved to get into the word, especially the one that's taught to you. Some people, they want to hear everything but what you're teaching them. You know, God led me here. God put me here. Well, you need to hear what's being said here. But you thought he just put you here? Oh, Lord. Huh? The truth you hear will be the same, will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. Now watch this now. And more besides. Whoo! Where do more besides come from? In my meditation time. That's where it comes from. Amen. And look what he says. Will be given to you who hear. Now, hear, the one who has the ear to hear. The one who has the ear to hear. Now, remember, Jesus separated those from those who just hear and those who hear to understand. He's talking about those who hear to understand. He said, more will be given you. beside. More what? More revelation, more knowledge, more understanding. You'll have clarity as to what God is saying to you, what God is saying, period. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now same book. Let's go to verse 7. King James. Let's go back to the King James. My. That clock wrong, huh? That clock, it said 1:49. If it's 1:49, I quit now. Is it? Huh? Yeah, all right. Because if that clock, if it's really 1:49, I'm going home. See y'all. Now, here's what I want you to see here. Amen. Now, watch this here. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now, the thorns grew up. Now, it's not implying that the thorns just grew up. They've been there, and they grew up. And he says some fell among. He's talking about the word. See, the word fell among thorns, grown up thorns. See, grown up thorns. Are you listening real good? Now, the thorns here could possibly be a way of thinking. That's what it can be. See, every time I teach you, or whoever stand here and teach you, they're giving to you the seed of the word. Now, where is it falling? See. Now, everybody like to believe they're good ground. Everybody not good ground. But that's no big deal because, see, you can change that. Just like that. Now here's what I want you to see. The thorns there could possibly represent a way of thinking. And when the word of God is preached or taught to you, it fall among those thorns. What thorns? That way of thinking. And look what those thorns do. Choke it. Choke what? The word choke there simply means to suffocate. It chokes the word. And then if the word is choked where your life is concerned, your life is unfruitful. Got it? Can you see it? See, those thorns, again, can be, possibility of those thorns can be, thorns can be a way of thinking. And see, they already grown up. They already grown up. And the word falls among them. Among what? That way of thinking I have. That comes from my DNA. That way of thinking that have come from my environment that have shaped my life. And I live, you know, caused me to live the way I live, that way of thinking. See, the word falls among that. Now, here's what happens here. Now, when it fall among those thorns, this is what you got to see. Those thorns, or that way of thinking, does not want to give up its position of control where your life is concerned. And so they fight to keep control. And look what they do. They choke the word out. They choke the word out. Say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can love Jesus, but loving Jesus does not stop the way you think. The only way that stops that is the renewal of your mind through the word. You don't make changes, serious changes in your life until your thinking change. Now watch. I'm going to show you some good stuff here. Now some of those things I need to show you here, but let me show you this first. Let's go. We're in Mark, right? Go to the 15th verse. I want to show you something in the 15th verse. And somebody say, uh-oh. You're right, son. Uh-oh. And these are they by the wayside. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Wayside here. Now, the first thing I want you to see again here, we looked at this once, but I want to show it to you again. Satan cannot just come and take the word from you. There has to be a cause or a reason why he can. He doesn't have the right or the authority to just come along and take the word from us. If he had that authority, that right, we all are in trouble. But he doesn't have that right. There's something that allows him to be able to do this. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Look at verse 19. Oh, Lord. Are you listening? Now, I want you to hear real good. Shake your neighbor. Make sure they woke. Shake your neighbor. Go ahead and shake them. So you better leave me alone. Huh? Now, I want you to see this here. You got to see this. Remember, Satan cannot just come along and take the word from us. If he could do that, if he had the right, the authority to do that, then again, we all are in big trouble. But there's a cause as to why it can be done. Now watch. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, look, and understandeth it not. See. Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now we've located his problem. The wayside here. He doesn't understand what he's hearing. See, we located his problem. See, he doesn't understand what's being said. He doesn't understand it. But his condition is self-inflicted. I'm going to show it to you. See, there's a reason why he don't understand. Well, the Bible states that the word of God is so simple a fool couldn't err. Then why don't the wayside here understand? Now, here's what I want you to see. He doesn't want to. Now, one of the things he says, look, I don't want to hear that. He'll sit down right there in his chair and say, you'll be teaching to him. He said, I don't want to hear that. If you ever said that or ever thought that and stayed in that vein, you're wayside here. I don't hear that. Now, here's what we got to ask. Is it the word of God? Yes, it might be, but it's not the one I want to hear right now. You're a wayside here. Doesn't matter what you think about yourself. I'm telling you what the word says about you. You are a wayside here. So, no, I'm not in a wayside. Yes, you are. According to the word, you are a wayside hearer. Do you know who I am, Pastor? Wayside here. See, they have a certain attitude about the word. And 90% of the word that's designed to be taught to them, they don't want to hear it. A lot of people want to hear word that's going to cause them to come into more. But God wants you to come into more, but he wants you to be a different kind of person with more. See, the wayside hearer don't listen to messages or teaching that challenges him. Now I'm going to show you something. Stay with him. Say, stay with him. All right. Now, let's look at his prompt. Go to verse 19. 13th chapter, Matthew's verse 19. But I want to read it from the Amplified. Could y'all help me? I want to read it from the Amplified. Now I want you to see this here. I'm helping you, yeah. You may not know it, but I am helping you. Now watch this. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
Well, I told you go. No, go to verse 9. I want you to start at verse 9. 39. Now watch this here. There's Jesus with this stuff again. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him be listening, rather. And let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing. Now watch. Now I told you, the wayside hearer, his condition is self-inflicted. Now watch. Amen. Then the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Right? Well, I don't want to talk about all that. Go to 13. Jump into verse 13. This is the reason that I speak to them in parables. Now, how many of y'all paying attention? Get your cough out. You sneeze. Do your stretch. Do your yawn. Do everything right now because I want you to see this. He said, this is the reason that I speak to them in parables. Now watch. Because having the power to see, having the power of seeing, they do not see. I told you their condition is self-inflicted. See, they have the power to do what? But they do not what? By choice. Now watch. They do not see, having the power of hearing, they do not hear. Right? Nor do they grasp and understand. Why? Because they don't want to. Now, we're still talking about the wayside here, right? I want you to understand. We're still talking about the wayside here. Now, watch this here. Watch this here. In them, talking about the wayside here, indeed is the process of fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you shall indeed hear and hear, but never grasp and understand, and you shall indeed look and look, but never see and perceive. What else? For this nation, heart has grown gross, fat and dull. We see in the condition now of the wayside here. And their ears heavy and difficult of hearing. And their eyes they have tightly closed. Now I want you to notice, the devil didn't close their eyes. They did. See, there are certain things they don't want to see. Now, what else happened? Lest they see and perceive with their eyes and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears and grasp and understand with their hearts and turn and I should heal them. See, their condition is self-inflicted. What verse we at? That was 15. I don't even want to talk about these people here right now. Got it? Now, go back to Mark. And let's look at the wayside here again in Mark. Mark 4:15. Got it? Now watch. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, who comes? Now he can come only because they chose not to understand what they're hearing. Now let's put it another way. They chose not to take to heart what they were hearing. They chose not to take to heart what they were hearing. That's their problem. See, self-inflicted. Their problem is self-inflicted. Are you still with me? Now, I'm going to show you something that's very interesting. I want to show you something that's very interesting. Very, very much interesting. Now, we can move from here. Let's go to verse 16. Now, pay close attention here. I guarantee you'll learn something. Watch. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. This is a different kind of hearer, right? Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, Lord. They're so glad. They said, Pastor, oh, what a word. Oh, Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, Mary, and Joseph. That was so good. All right? That's what they do. They're glad to receive it. Now, here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see. Most wayside hearers started here. Let me go on the other side for a moment. Because they really need to hear this on this side. See, most wayside hearers started here. At one point in time in their life, they was glad to receive the word of God. And they said, oh, that's a good word. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. I'm in a church where they're preaching and teaching the word of God. Woo! But I'm going to show you what happens. Look at verse 17. No, let's stay right here. And then we're going to bounce into it. Now why? And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. That's this whole group right here. They receive what pastor teaching with gladness. It's my pastor. My pastor teaching the word of God. Amen. This group here. Now, I ain't going to group y'all off today. Now look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. And have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time after when affliction. Now the word affliction here means pressure. It means pressure or trouble. Now, let's take it from the top. Have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time afterwards when affliction or pressure or trouble or persecution arise. Now watch now. For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Can we talk about that for a moment? But now, before we talk about it, I want you to see something. 95% of wayside hearers started here. Amen. Now, let's bring it into where we live just for a moment, right? I remember many of you, when you first came in here, you thought, wait, praise God, the word is good. Oh, thank God for the word. Hallelujah, the word is good. Now, the word was good, but trouble and pressure came in your life because of the word you heard. That word was supposed to keep you in the time of that pressure and trouble. But guess what? You didn't put it in you. See, it can't keep you unless it get in you. You didn't do anything with the word that you heard that was so good to you except say it was good. You didn't take it home. You didn't meditate it. You didn't speak it. You didn't decree it or declare it. In any situation or circumstance that you became, that you was under, the pressure got to you. The pressure. Now, who brought the pressure? The same one who, when you hear the word and don't understand it, take it. The same one who brings the pressure because you have heard it. You don't hear me. Any word you hear, the devil has a right to test you on that word. And God has so much confidence in his word and in you, he says, try it. But you didn't keep it. Say, God, no, I didn't keep it. Why let him try me? Well, it's a law of the Spirit. If you hear it, he don't have any choice but to let him test you. Because he's put you in a position to hear it so you can stand. Every word you hear will be tested. Now, look what happened. They got offended under the pressure. Now, here's the question. Who they got offended with? God.
Yes, Lord.
Because when they got under the pressure, they said, God, where are you? You see all of this trouble I'm under? God says, now, if God would speak to you, he would say, I already prepared you for this. Amen. You remember the Sunday you were sitting down there and he was talking to you about this? Matter of fact, he talked to you four times in a row about this. But you said, I didn't know. If you would have meditated that word, it would have been in you. And it would have came up out of you when the trouble came. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now, let's go back to this point. The wayside hearer. Now, after being offended with God, now he still go to church, but when you start talking about the power of God and God can do it, he said, I don't hear. Because when I was in trouble, God didn't do nothing for me. I don't want to hear that. Let me go hear something else. But you see where he started? He started out happy, blessed with the word. But he didn't do nothing with it. Amen. When I see you sleeping, when I see you uncomfortable, I know you're going to fail your test. When you have that old negative attitude where you're looking at me like, I know you're going to fail. But one thing about God, he's not going to pass you until you pass it. You listening? Now, this happened to thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Christians. See? We don't understand how powerful the word is. We don't understand how powerful it is in us. We don't even understand how powerful it is when we speak it. See, they got offended. Who you got offended with? God. Yeah. And see, when people are offended at God, they don't like you either. I'm serious. They don't like you either. When a man is offended at God, he don't like nobody. Because he knows he's supposed to be here or he's supposed to be there, but he's not there. And so guess what? He's not there because of what he did. See, his problem was self-inflicted. But he put the blame on God and everything and everybody around him. Huh? Amen. He's so offended at God, he need a new church. Now, I don't, guess what now? I don't cry about it. I don't fall out about it. I just pray for him. What do you pray? I pray that the eyes of understanding be enlightened. Now, listen, you're not in your world. You're in the kingdom. Things don't roll the way you want them to roll. They roll the way he wants them to roll. And you are a happy somebody when you're rolling together with him. Your misery comes because you're not rolling with him. And so I'm offended. I'm offended at God. But being offended at God, I'm offended at you too. I find everything in the world wrong with you. Now, being offended is nothing but a trap. You've taken the bait of Satan when you fall into an offense. You've taken the bait. Huh? This stuff will move you out of your set place. But I know you ain't, it ain't really me. It ain't really CNBC. You mad at God, boy. You mad at God, sister. Until your eyes of understanding is enlightened, that you mad at God. You ain't mad at me. Huh? Your offense to God, offense with God, spills over in every part of your life. Huh? On the job, we're going to talk about these white folks. Ain't no white folks doing you nothing. You mad at God. But now, in most cases, we don't have the courage to say we're offended at God. But you offended at God. That's who you offended at. Because you thought God wasn't supposed to let this happen to you. But God didn't. You let it happen to you. God prepared you for that thing long before it came. Amen, amen. Had no root. Amen. Come to church. Sit down. Say, that's a good message. Oh, Pastor, what a great message. The Lord is sure with you. Now, here's the question. What you going to do with that message? That good message you heard, what you going to do with it? Do I have to do anything with it? Yes. I'm about to stop. Amen. Tired. I'm hungry. And I can't wait to take these shoes off. I'm going straight home and get in my pajamas. And do what I do from there. That's it. If you get a camera, watch me. Amen. But I love you. God loves you. And he loves us too much to leave us stay the way we are. Amen. Amen. God didn't do it for you. That's why you mad with everybody. God didn't do it for you. You take it out on everybody. Your wife, your children, your uncle, everybody, you take it out on your Uncle Corey. But I'm out of here. Amen. Well, I'm out of time. Like I said, tired and hungry. Amen. Going to get in my pajamas and go to sleep. Don't even call me. Anything happen, call me tomorrow. Love y'all. Amen. God bless you.